Because, hey, I came here from Philadelphia, what else? So that's, of course, the second thing I thought of. But the third thing that came to my mind was very different. And that was the date on the calendar. It's the 4th of February. And it's, I'm sorry, you'd think after 22 years I would still get choked out. But on the 4th of February, 1976, I came back to my university dormitory, and my friends gave me the great news. I had a new nephew. He was born just an hour before, and his name was Samuel Lee Weller. Now, I was a college student, and my friends and I, we didn't have children yet, so we started speculating. What would be our hopes and dreams for a baby born this day? When my friend said, oh, he's going to be a reporter, can't you imagine a reporter? This is Sam Wellborn reporting from an important place. And so February 4th, I know that I will go on the internet and see that all my nieces and my sister will have posted, happy birthday, Sam. So you know the rest of the story, son. Right after he graduated from high school, he was a designated driver, a bomb. His friends partied very late in the night. He drove them home safely, and then he fell asleep at the wheel, crashed, died, burned up. So there was nothing left of Sam. So, when I come to the 4th of February, that comes to mind. And this week, as I was thinking about that, Dad came close again as a phone rang with the sudden news of the death of Willie Smith. So I was thinking of these two deaths, and I was also thinking about the gospel, where Jesus goes around and heals people. In fact, the word he uses, that's used in Mark's gospel for when Jesus raises up Simon's mother-in-law, is resuscite. He resurrects her from her deep sickness. The gospel today is full of examples of Jesus healing people from many different sicknesses. And elsewhere, the Bible tells us how Jesus actually did raise people from the dead. His friend Lazarus, the child Tabitha, the son of the widow of Nain, they were healed. They came back to life. But Willie will not come back to us. And my nephew Sam will not. And indeed, even though it is over 20 years ago, I still ache at the thought of losing him. Just as many of you still ache, especially around the times of birthdays and other anniversaries of those you have loved and lost. Now I know that death is a part of our life. It is a natural progression, especially for those of us with faith. A progression from life with its many losses here to the next life, where there is neither pain nor sorrow. I know this, and I don't just believe that my Redeemer lives, but rather I know it, and that at the last I will somehow reunited with my Maker and with those who I no longer see in this world. But still, mine or yours, in the face of loss. Certainly we can give thanks for that which we have had. That is, there is real truth in the expression, it is better to have loved and lost than never to have had or loved at all. In terms of our faith, this means that we remind ourselves again and again of how much we have to be thankful for. How everyone that we have for any amount of time and all that we are is a gift from God. As much as it hurts to miss them, I do thank God so much for them and for all who I have loved and lost. So although on this day I do not have the answer, the way to take away my ache or yours in the face of loss, I do know that I always give thanks for those who I have loved, even as I have lost them. What else comes to mind this week as the scripture has so strongly made me reflect on what many people would say was such an old loss, I should be over it by now? There are the details of how Jesus healed. Willie and my nephew cannot be healed in the way I want. They cannot come back to life in this world. But they are healed in God's way. That is, they are now in God's glorious presence. They are not hurting and are not suffering as we do in this life. It is not the person who died who needs the healing. It is the living in this world. And the gospel says Jesus heals. Jesus heals, but not without cost. At first glance, the act of Jesus' healing may have appeared simple. He came to a sick woman, he took her hand, he lifted her up, and the fever left her, and he cured many and he cast out many demons. That looks straightforward and simple enough. But the Bible says there was something further necessary. Something behind those acts which made the healing possible. It says here and in many other places in the scripture, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. He prayed. Healing happens with prayer. Healing happens with intentional time put aside for the express purpose of prayer. A commitment of valuable time to be with God. Jesus could not heal without prayer, and neither can you nor I. Jesus heals, and we can heal. Not by ignoring our grief, not by pitying ourselves, but by lifting up our prayers to the source those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God hears our prayer and gives us the strength. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Born as on eagle wings, safely his saints he sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how all thou needest has been granted in what he ordained? Further in the psalm, we read, God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and calls them by their name. Great is our God, and mighty in power. There is no limit to his wisdom. Finally, we remember that after praying, Jesus went back to be with his companions. And actually, the healing itself happened with his companions. As we share our needs with others, and they pray for and with us as well, healing happens. Healing can and does happen. It does not mean